Sunday school. You know, and if you don't, you know, and a couple of services ago was talking about how Satan lies to deceive. He lies so that we'll believe him and get deceived, you know. Whether it's, you know, the things of the Lord, you know, the promises of God. And I was thinking about it yesterday. I was thinking, Lord, the more I've got a lot of your promises in my heart through the Bible, not head knowledge, you know, and these are the power that I feel on the inside of me in the times of troubled waters that keeps me out of oppression and fear and unbelief. They, you know, the psalmist David, he said, Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Well, you just don't know what kind of trouble I got. We got some big spiritual pacifiers. No, you don't understand everybody else's trouble. I mean, Jared Jeffrey is this morning, transmission went out. Had to borrow a car. Had a flat. He's got two kids. Mama's going to work. He ain't got no troubles. He has faith in God. God helped him, got here. I'm going to start the service off. The Lord says, let him start the service off. And I was going to do it myself. I thought, well, I'll let Johnny, and I didn't feel it. I thought, well, I'll let Monty, and I didn't feel it. You know, I thought, I'll just do it myself. I'm walking up on the stage, and the Lord said, let him start. See, he needed to tell you that. He needed to let you know, I'm coming to church if I have to walk next week. He needed to start that off. You know, what happened? He endured. And he'll leave here changed. He already felt it. He left it out yonder. Come to the house of God. That's what we Christians do. Casting all our care over on the Lord. I'm going to ask him how much a transmission is going to cost. We may just take an offering up. What would be wrong with that? What would be wrong with going, let's help him get his transmission. He's our brother in the Lord, right? Now, we'll be led by that, but I had that thought. But, well, God, we'll just get him a transmission. Well, I'm struggling myself. You're the one that needs to give in to it. You're the very one. I'm an automobile. You're the one. You're the one going to have to scrape the bottom of the barrel. You're going to have to dip down and give out of your need, just like the little widow woman over in Zarephath. The man goes over there and he said, cook me a whole cake. I'm paraphrasing. We only got one, and we're going to eat it, me and my son, and die. That's what she said. But she hearkened to the word of the Lord. She goes in there and she begin to dip in that barrel. You know, that was a big sacrifice, Johnny. I mean, there they are. They're starving over there. Literally. There's no food. And then they're down. I can't imagine if it was just me and Travis and all I got is one more meal, Mac, and that's it. We're going to starve. You've been there where you didn't have nothing to eat. And God asked me, give me that bologna. Give me that last sandwich. But you know what? She did it. So you know, if you're here this morning, well, I need money myself. You're the one. You're the one God's talking to. You are the one that God wants to deliver. You are the one that God wants you delivered from fear and yourself and get into the abundance like the little widow woman at Zarephath. See, God will not let me and you get born again and stay spiritual babies. We will either get in with God or it'll start being hard, the things of God, until we walk away. I've done it both ways. It's not a challenge obeying God if your mind and heart is in it. You got to have it in it. We're not in here just God is our sugar baby, you know, the sugar daddy, you know, to make sure all our bills are paid and all of that. He'll do all that. But he is a jealous God. He's jealous over us. He don't want nothing having us. He wants us to himself because he loves us. And so, like Teresa was talking about this morning, she said, I've not been married 30-something years because everything's been good in my marriage. I mean, I do have to set her straight every now and then. And I tell Travis, I'm not scared of her like you are, son. I told her one time, I will take you to the ground, ma'am. I said, I'll take you down to the ground if we have to go back to those days. Mac, I still got it. You ain't going to beat me up, though. I'm telling you, you and Sting going to beat me up. Which she wouldn't, no. Now, we be funny about it now at home, you know. We have fun with it. But in reality, me and her know that God used each other to develop us to where we are now. And the more that we yield to the Lord and you yield to the Lord, I got faith in God. What's wrong with your marriage then? It's my wife, really. I find that I bypassed my wife. I got into the Word of God and I went and got some anointing oil and I went over in my whole house and I anointed it and I pleaded the blood of Jesus. I took authority over my wife that way in the spirit realm. She comes in and here she is 30-something years later. My wife can't stop God from moving in. I can't stop God if she'll believe. But now she's had to have faith, and I've had to have faith, and we've had to have some endurance. Right? Every one of y'all have. It ain't just me. Y'all having to endure right now. Oh, our cars just broke down. We're having trouble. We understand. You're going to make it if you keep trusting God. You're going to come out. But you'll make it anyway. But it's a lot better if you got faith in God and keep consistently believing God. And then when he brings y'all out of this little first trial, little one, you will have confidence when the bear comes. When the next one arrives, you'll like, hey, man, we trusted God. And, man, we didn't know what we was going to do. We all go through it, every one of us. And we get up, start up in life, and everything's going good, something. And we want to think, man, if that hadn't happened, I could have prospered. Every one of us has those issues to deal with in our thought life. But now we come back to the Word of God, and we say, no, God's Word said, no weapons formed against me will prosper. Okay, I got to tell you, because it's just an on-time thing happening with me right now. Now, you know my track. 2017. This is the second place that I've had it at, have it fixed. I've been four or five months in this little trial. Just five. It's short now. 5 months, that all, Lord? Man, that three years on my house about killed me. But you sustained me. Now 4 months is nothing, man. I'm like, 4 months? Let's go buy another one. Let's wait it out. Well, the guy calls me. I call him up there. And I said, hey, yeah, y'all got a status on the tractor yet? Now, the last words we had was they're supposed to call me and give me a price on fixing it, okay? That's the last I heard, man. Three weeks goes by. I call up there and says, we got the parts. Or I said, what parts? Well, the parts fix your tractor. I said, no, y'all supposed to call me and give me a price. I said, just tell me how much the parts are right now up to this point. Well, it's just $5,200. I said, no, stop. I said, I'm not willing to go there. I said, stop. Stop the parts. I said, now I need you. Now I'm like, okay, I'm telling you this for a reason. Because you cannot get frustrated and aggravated and come to the end of your endurance and expect to have any faith. Your faith stops at the end of your endurance. You can have faith to move mountains. And I mean, we do. We have it. The Bible says every man has been given the measure of faith. The Bible says if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we'll speak to that mountain. The Bible says have faith in God, Mark 11. And he says, whosoever shall say to that mountain, be thou cast in, it'll move. He said, whatsoever things you desire, when you ask, believe you receive it and you will have it. There's not a question if we got any faith or not, if we're born again. But when we come to the end of our endurance, faith is right there. I mean, your endurance is right here. That's it. Faith hasn't stopped up there. Why? You quit. You lay it down. I lay it down. I quit. And so God built an endurance so that in the middle of my tractor deal, it'll be another one. I done made it through the pandemic. I done busted COVID wide open, killed it in the spirit realm around this place. I got on people's nerves because I was preaching, you know, the shield of faith and all of that. But see, it was showing up in our homes. It was showing up on our workplace. It was showing up in our churches. You want to stick your head up here? Well, we're going to whack it off. Right? We're not going to sit back. This is just the way it is. One thing. No, it ain't just the way it is. Go back and read your Bible. All them other ones, was it just the way it was then with them? No, they fought the good fight. They come up against the enemy. They took them out. They went and took their land. They went and took the promises of God. Read your Bible in Hebrews 11. By faith they did this. Because of their faith they did this. Because of their faith, Abraham waited 25 years. Because of their faith, Caleb and Joshua believed what God said. No, they didn't just passively lay down and let the enemy run over them. They didn't let the elements get to them in the wilderness, some of them. They took God's word, and I believe they kept it in the forefront of their mind, and I believe they was determined. That's endurance, not to quit before they got there. I'm not going to quit till I'm totally healed. Our bodies, you're going to have to hang around me a little longer. I've been hanging around with God, and I can't help but think that way. Right. Let this mind be in you that is in him. Well, what do he think about sickness and disease? Come on, whip me for it. Put it on me. He took it on him. He took it on him so we don't have to. My body's not going to get weaker. See, y'all quiet.
Scotty's a little lunatic on that.
No, but I'm just believing what that Bible says. I promised 120 years. I'm only 55. I can't quit at 60. Long way, dude. We got a long way to go. And it's your time to get there. We're going to do what they say can't be done. We're going to get her down. We're going to get down on that with this. Jeffrey, find out what it's going to cost on your transmission, son. We're going to see what God will do. Hallelujah. Some people afraid to say that. Oh, it might cost a lot. It ain't going to cost me nothing. I know how to believe my Father. And I believe that's his son back there. And I believe he said he'll supply all his needs. Don't you remember that? So why would I want to fear what it's going to cost? We're just going to come in agreement. The Bible says one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000, right? If any two touching anything, agree on earth. We're here, baby. We agree, and your word is true to Jeffrey. Your word is true to Cal. Yeah, I've been trying to rename him for months here. Yeah. I don't know why I'm wanting to call you that. I'll just come up with a nickname for you, man. Call you Surfer Boy Junior. I didn't remember that. I just believe God will bring them out. I ain't going to worry about it. I'm not going to take their care on. And if they're smart, they won't take their care on. They'll roll that baby over on the Lord, and they'll sit there and they'll believe God and let God lead them every step, let God move every little step. See, he might not show you all he's going to do all at one time. He did them in the wilderness. He rained manna out of heaven at night and told them, don't gather it up. When they did, it rotted.
I believe in that story to me years ago, God was showing me, look, don't try to take care of yourself. If you say you're going to trust me, then trust me. Don't try to work out the details of your life. Let the Bible be what you turn to. Let it be me. Well, call up there. I said, stop. I said, and I want you to get me in touch, because I'm thinking, God, you're going to give me wisdom. All things work together for the good to those that love them. I'm using that. I'm in that. I've got that in my heart, and I'm believing this, and I'm believing for wisdom in this, these moments that I'm telling you right now, because I have not had any endurance and just about screwed up our lives. The church, I would have lost the church and everything if I'd done what a lot of folk does. I lost my ministry and everything. Nobody'd have lick of confidence in me. That's why I tell you here, I tell you, be consistent in your walk with the Lord. Because people can have confidence in you, but you can kill it in 1 week. And leave a legacy of starting out running the race with God. I mean, started out bold, believing God and all of that. And then a little time goes on and you don't even finish your course. The Bible says run this race with patience, with endurance. Paul said, I fight to win. I don't fight just to beat there. I'm fighting that I win. So anyways, God, the Holy Spirit, when you are having faith in God and you are building endurance, I need more endurance, Johnny, I need it. I got it through the pandemic in my business. I didn't quit. I've never wanted to quit, but it was so challenging the way things hit till I wanted to quit. I just wanted out. I wanted to come down here and say, I'm getting out of all of that. Y'all gonna give me a raise at church? I mean, I really did. And I thought, man, I've never wanted to quit. And so I start fasting and praying. See, somebody say fasting and praying. You start inquiring of the Lord. I could have come to y'all, Johnny, what am I going to do now? You'd be like, oh, no, man, don't tell me your problem. God, I'm trying to get my marriage straightened out. Come to Monty, man, Monty, what am I going to do? I don't know, man, I'm trying to get a house. God, man, now you're trying to get me into your battles. Well, it ain't right, that's what I'm saying. No, I go fasting, you go fasting, you go seeking the Lord, you go, and then all of a sudden, God began to give me wisdom, Mac. He began to show me things to do in the business. Now I'm, oh, glory to God, it's better than it was before it happened. It truly is. The choices I made caused prosperity to come in a way that I didn't think it would. But what if I hadn't have endured? If I hadn't have endured, I would not have seen the glory. If you do not endure hardship and stay in a right, it's not good enough just to endure and just make it through. You got to have a mentality, I'm coming out of this stronger in the Lord than I was when I went in this. And tell the devil, you watch me. I used to have to do it by faith. I'd be like, God, I hope you don't watch me too close. And maybe I might not make it, man. I'm smoking now. That's where the Bible says the just shall live and walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. Right? Faith is not enough. And you know, statistics say that the majority of Christians today don't read their Bible anyways. Don't even read the Bible. Then Doris heard one. You know, the statistics are people ain't even going to church. I mean, look at our church here. I got to go round everybody up, Mac. I got to go. I need to go door to door. I need to be like a salesman. Where y'all at? What's wrong with y'all? Man, y'all just abandoned us or what, man? Are y'all in trouble or have you went to another church or, you know, what's going on? I need, you know, y'all are in the statistics. What statistics? People ain't going to church no more. They're watching it on TV. They don't get the benefits. They get the little bit of ice cream. They're not getting the steaks and stuff that we are, spiritually speaking. Well, go down there, call her up, and I said, I need you. I done called another company over yonder and told them what it's going to cost to fix my tractor. And he's got another tractor over there. It's in another state. I don't care. I drive. In other words, the Lord was saying, now, are you going to think strapped, or are you going to think I'll work this out for you? Are you going to the, so I call that dude. He sent me back. He said, I'll give you $10,000 for it like this. And he said, and you know, it's going to cost this to fix it. I'll give you $10,000. I'll go get it. Another state. I said, well, I'll think about that. I said, let me think about that. And so I called them back, and I said, I need you to get me to your salesman. I said, because I'm probably going to try to work something out and sell y'all where my tractor's at, the dealer. And so the salesman calls me. And the salesman says, well, Mr. Weston, I said, this is him. He said, we can buy your tractor as a broken tractor. I said, I'm listening to you. I said, you got a 50-horse Kubota out there that's the same as mine. This is 2013. You're wanting $23,000 for it. Mine's a 2017. That one has 700 hours. Mine has 670 hours. I said, I'm listening. Well, we'll give you $3,500 for it. I said, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me. See, look, the Bible says the righteous are cowards. Now, I'm not going to get in the wrong spirit with the dude. I know that I'm having to endure right here. I am going to move forward. I've got to stay in the right. You got to stay in the right spirit with what you're facing, whatever you're facing, for the anointing and the Lord to be able to work. You understand that? If I get in the wrong spirit and get in the flesh, I shut God out, because God's like, I can't get involved in this without faith, without your confidence in me. That's why a lot of people lose. Well, anyways, I told him, I said, listen to me. I said, understand something. I said, I will never take $3,500 for a $20,000 tractor. I said, you got it? I said, I will never. Now, faith is speaking. I don't care if he's hearing or not. I'm in this situation. The Bible says what? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Now, if you ain't been enduring, you just been flopping your tongue anytime, just joking all the time and just letting things happen. Don't think you're gonna have any wisdom in the time when you really need to be speaking faith over what's happening in you, whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, believe, you receive it. Now, I don't believe this thing ain't gonna bite me. You better believe the things ain't gonna bite you. Hallelujah. I told him, I said, no. I said, I would sell it to you. I said, because of what it's going to cost. I said, but it will be $10,000. Oh, I said, but look, don't talk. I said, I can see right now that that's not going to happen. I said, that's fine. I said, it's not your fault because you got my tractor up there. I said, and it's not really my fault either, because the tractor tore up and I want it fixed. I said, so based on everything that you guys and those other guys are saying, that my only way out to not get burnt is to fix it. I said, so what I want you to do that y'all should have done to start with is to get a price together for me and let me determine whether you fix it or not. I said, now I need you to get back to the service department and let them get down to close to the dollar that it's going to cost to fix my tractor. Then I'm going to determine whether y'all are going to fix it or some other LS company is going to fix it. Well, Mac, you're not going to rob me. Satan ain't going to trick me. You ain't going to burn me. You might burn me one time, but it'll be stupid hitting me the next time. Satan took me more than once because of my ignorance and your ignorance. Don't back down out of ministry. If you in ministry, I'm not talking to you. We done talked. You said you felt like the Lord, and I won't ever argue with that. Never. If God told you to do something, I would be an idiot to tell you to do different. Right? Lady quit in church one time. She got mad at me, Mac. Quit in church. Called her up. I said, where you at? We've been missing you.
Well, I mean, you hurt my feelings.
I said, really? I said, you've hurt mine more than once.
When?
I said, I'm not going there. I said, you didn't even know it. I said, now. I said, did the Lord tell you to quit?
Well, no, the Lord didn't tell me to quit.
I said, well, then you're in disobedience. I said, you told me the Lord told you to come here to this church. I said, I ain't heard you stand up and testify God's leading you nowhere. I said, now you've got your feelings hurt. I said, and I'm obligated to help you. I said, I'm your pastor. I said, I'm obligated to help you. I said, I need you to get back in church. Okay, pastor, I'll see you Sunday, Clink. You don't baby this stuff, man. Just straight up. Brother, you be straight up and beat around. God didn't get behind you. He knows better. Right? See, I've got to have some endurance. I could have just, I didn't want to hear anyhow, Mac, to be honest with you. She's causing me pain every time I turn around. But I felt like God sent her here, so I got to endure hardship, right? Let's just don't do it with our little plans and stuff at home. We got to endure hardship, whether it's at church, ministry. I'm sure, I mean, it's been a lot for Mac. God's took Mac down a road that he didn't really want to go. And now he's starting to enjoy that road. It's wonderful. But, I mean, honestly, you know, Mac needed that. God knew what Mac needed in that arena and still does in the future. He was working some things out in Mac. Working some things out in them old folk over there. Carrying them the word and then carrying them song and worship and doing things with Mac. You're causing Matt to have some endurance over here where he used to have some endurance with drugs and his business before that. We was had some endurance, didn't we? But God, I drove to Florida, all the way to Florida to get me a bag of marijuana one time, wasn't on Alabama. I'm going if it takes me all weekend. And now I get my fingernail broke and I can't pastor anymore. Are you serious? So here comes that sister back to church, Mac. And everything was good. About 3 weeks, I got a phone call from her. Pastor, can I talk to you a minute? I said, sure. Got plenty of time. What you need there? Well, I've been praying and the Lord told me to leave. I said, well, I can't argue with that. I said, just be blessed on your journey. You know where she's at today, Mac? In her living room. I mean, I'm being honest. Never got settled in a church ever anywhere else. Couldn't take no, didn't have no endurance. Let people get on her nerves and hurt her feelings, whatever the case might be. You know, no endurance. And been a Christian for 30 years. 30. Not 5. 30. See, we got to have, and you know what happened? I'm not down on her. She got robbed all these years. To me, I mean, she's alone, she's lonely, her kids never help her, won't do nothing for her. We're used to, she had God just blessing and blessing and blessing. See, wherever a person pushes God out, we push God out when we tell him we're not going to follow him. Just like I told little Destiny there, the last thing I want to see anybody do is not doing the will of God when the will of God is for them to do it because they suffer greatly. And I told her, I said, if God told you, then it's fine. But doing the will of God, if it's God's will, and I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you. I'm not trying to bring light to her. I mean, she better know it's the will of God. He better know it's the will of God. Whatever y'all do, whatever I do, I'm talking about right now. Faith in God and patience. Find the will of God. Faith begins where the will of God's known. And then when you find out what the will of God is, bless God, on the inside of the Word, then you don't let go of it for nothing or nobody. Because it will affect everybody. The results of your obedience to the Lord. Travis is blessed today. My grandkids are blessed because I've obeyed the Lord and followed the Lord. They're blessed. I remember a time whenever they didn't have no kids, and they're out there on my property out there, and here I am, done put me in quick foreclosure and all of that, and I'm taking on the thoughts of where they going to go. They going to lose their home. I don't got no more land anywhere else. They're going to lose their home out there. They was living on my property. So if I lost that property, they're good. I put them on the streets. I did. You see what I'm saying? I'm fixing to cause them to be homeless. I got to fight. See, that's the way you ought to feel. You got to fight. You must fight the good fight of faith and build some endurance. Keep faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. I rehearse the Word on prosperity over all the time in my mind and stuff. I'm not after money. Money's after me. I say that and I mean that. I'm not shooting you some hot air. I made up my mind a long time ago. Money's not going to master me. I'm not ever going after money. I read it in there where Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You'll love the one and despise the other, or you'll cling to the one and do away with the other. And I made up my mind because of that parable right there that I will tithe, I will give, I will not serve money, I will not go after money. Money will never be my God, and I will not hunger after money to have a good life. I have a good life in Jesus, and money cometh to me. You got to get it right. Get it straight. Guy called me up just not too long ago. He said, well, you can make $1,500 Saturday. I said, I'm not for sale. I said, Saturday's my off day. Yeah, but $1,500, that's what my brother told me back there when I was a young Christian. Boss is going to pay you $25 an hour. I said, but Travis is going to miss me. He was about five and a half. I said, but Travis is going to miss me. I said, the Lord, it's okay with the Lord. I said, see, there's a difference between me and you. I said, you're for sale, and I've been bought with a price, and I'm not for sale anymore. Jesus redeemed me. I said, God took me with the same job I've been working with you for 10 years on here on and off. I don't have to work on Saturday no more, and I make more money not working on Saturday here at the same job. I said, because I was bought with a price. I said, I'm not for sale. And you know, God told me, he said, see, you've got to be an example in this world. Let your light shine. See, now people, well, Scotty's all there. No, I'm dedicated to the Lord, Mac. I don't mean to be for people to take me the wrong way. I can't help it. This word has made me where I will endure. This word has transformed me where I won't get a divorce. I won't commit adultery. I will not commit adultery on my wife. I will not fix my eyes on half-naked women, marketplace, or anywhere else. I'm not looking forward to going to the beach because I don't like that fight. I'm going to choose my fight. I'll just get on a muddy river with some worms, and I'll catch them old catfish, and I don't have to fight lust. Right? Don't have to fight it. I don't flirt with women. There's a lot of women love to have me. I know I look good. I am good. I don't think about it. Why? Because this Bible's given me an image of royalty on the inside. So I mean, if something happened, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'd take her, boy. She don't, I mean, it's bad, but at least you ain't alone. I'd be like, no. My standards are higher. These women, some men might not want y'all women because of the way y'all are. Some women may not want some of y'all young guys or y'all men because the way you are. They know you're going to be all up about yourself. You won't even take them to, you won't even take them to Santa Fe. It's going to cost you $60. Y'all time griping when you're going out about how things are. Shoot, ask my baby where you want to go, baby. Red Lobster. You want to go? Let's take a trip to Florida, baby, if you're missing it. We'll go. I'll take a couple of days off. Baby, we'll get out of here. You know why? Because my God's changed me. My God wants me to be a blessing to my wife and to my kids and my grandkids and all of those good things. Hallelujah. Well, I can't do it if I don't have any endurance. If I'm not enduring, if I'm just going through and just, you know, just going through life, well, I'm just oppressed. If you're a Christian, you're oppressed, you're not in faith. You are not in faith. Well, I've been going to church all my life. You are not in faith. Church don't get you joy. Yeah, I mean, it imparts to you. But your stance with the Lord and your endurance with God and your meditation on the Word and your crying out, Abba, Father, to the Lord is what brings that Zoe life on the inside of you. Then church will just add the fuel to the fire. And you'll just come and it'll add fuel to the fire. Boy, when I used to go to church and I'd hear it on prosperity, I'd be like, man, are there anybody around here preaching prosperity anywhere? Teresa, let's find somewhere. I need to hear some more of it. We're broke. I mean, I tell her we're broke, man. There's something we don't know is what the problem is. We don't know. I said, man, let's find somewhere to preach. They're preaching on prosperity. There wasn't nobody. So we hooked our own self up on the dial-up internet. Took Teresa 4 hours to get us a sermon. 4 hours. She spent six to eight hours a day to get us 2 sermons a day on the dial-up internet. And some of you, you'd blow your brains out if you had dial-up. Y'all remember? You'd be like, God, can't you hurry up? And then you start downloading. 3%. Go back, eat lunch, come back, 4%. And now today, black God, if the internet's running a little bit slow, we slam it down, go run out there, run over it. I mean, all you'd had to wait is 33 seconds and it would have been back up. You know, and I'm thankful for the way God didn't just pour it out on me. I'm really thankful, Mac, that God didn't just pour things out and deliver us out of everything. I'm really, truly thankful today that he didn't. Now I have some wisdom of the Word of God and how it works, you know, and it's not just an instant microwave thing. People tell me today, well, I've been saved, but I really don't feel, I don't feel it anymore. You ain't going to feel it. You get up and you repent and you move forward. You go forward. The Bible calls it works worthy of your repenting. Works worthy of your repentance. When I backslid on the Lord, I never felt what I felt again that day that I thought what happened to me. I got born again. That I won't never experience that born again experience because you can only get born again once. And then you just have to make conscious decisions. It took me 3 months, Mac, to get the feeling back to normal after I walked away from God. And I had to do it by faith. I'd tell my pastor, I don't feel nothing. He said, you won't. He said, some people do, some people don't. He said, you ask God to forgive you? And I said, I did. He said, well, then you got to go by the James over. He said, just God to forgive you and cleanse you. He said, you was forgiven, you was cleansed. He said, now just keep marching forward. Don't feel. And before you know it, I was like, Lord God, where's that devil at again? Where's he at? You idiot, you caused me to have thoughts and made me think that I needed a break from church and made me think that I needed vacation from church. That's how he did it. One guy told me one time, he said, well, Mr. Weston, you know, you just can't be too so spiritual-minded. you won't be no earthly good. I said, I'm so earthly minded right now, I ain't no good to nobody. And then he says, well, you know, I believe that Bible's brainwashing you. I said, you know what? I think I need my brain washed. I said, I've been 27 years and my life is a mess. I said, that smart brain of mine got me here. I said, but this Bible here's got some stuff in it, man, that I think is going to help me and my family. Oh, yeah? Yeah. I said, I think it will. I said, I'm going to that church. Is it a Baptist? And I said, well, no, it's not bad. They going to warp your brain. That's what they going to do. Them Pentecostals, they going to mess you up. And I told Teresa, I said, man, we need to find a Baptist church. These Pentecostals, they're holy rollers. I said, they're holy rollers. So I go up there with my antennas up. Buddy, these people ain't going to deceive me. I'm going, I get my Bible out, and they turn. I'm like, well, that's in the Bible. He said, turn to so-and-so. And I'm like, well, that's in the Bible. Well, that's in the Bible. And it wasn't a Baptist church. I'm not again Baptist. I am a Baptist. I was raised Baptist. Did you know that? A Baptist got saved in his living room. I was a Baptist up till then. I didn't leave the Baptist Association. I never joined it, you know. So I go to the Baptist and preach. I go to the Methodist and preach. I can go up, they say, what are you? I'm everything y'all are. Do you believe in this? I believe in everything you do in that Bible. I believe the Bible to be the Holy Spirit written word of God through holy men of God. I believe it's real. A lady asked me one time, she said, see, and I'm having to endure all this doctrinal, denominational garbage. It's garbage. It separated the church for years. Yeah, well, she said, are y'all, what are y'all? That sign don't say what denomination y'all are. I said, what are you? I'm Baptist. I said, you'll fit right in up here. I said, we're part Baptist. We're a mixed breed.
What's a mixed breed? I've never heard of a mixed breed in the church.
I said, well, we got white people, black people, we got skinny people, fat people. We got Catholic, we got Methodist, we got Baptist, we got them that don't know what they are. I said, we got them all. I said, we're a mixed breed. I said, so we are every flavor that anybody needs. If they're Baptist, we are part Baptist. If they're now I'm using faith and wisdom and enduring this garbage that they're indoctrinated with to try to get them into the fellowship where they prosper like we do. Right? My pastor, he told me one time, prosperity, you got to watch that prosperity. I said, I'm watching it real close. I went, I'm watching it real close, Brad. I said, now I'm not listening to a lot of these people out here. I said, but I am listening to this Bible. He said, well, I've seen a lot of people get messed up on that. I said, yeah, but I won't. I said, Jesus said, I'll know the truth, and the truth will make me free. I said, I'm going to get in this, and I'm going to keep a right heart and a right spirit. Back to God, I want everything God's got for us in this church. I was thinking about it the other day, and I'm going to close with it. Bradley, he's led of the Lord. I'm just young in the Lord, Mac, up there, you know. That I'm dedicated to the church, you know, and everything. It's changing my life at home. We're being changed, Mac. My wife, going to church like we are right now, and hearing sermons. I mean, our life was being changed, you know, and so that's why I'm appreciative and so dogmatic about going to church, you know. I mean, I know what it does for anybody that plugs in. Anyways, he comes over there and he says, Brother Scotty, could you take a tithes and offerings? And I'm like, I don't know about all that, man. About 250 people in that church, man. And I'm like, I don't know about all that. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Man, every time I got up there and got that microphone, the anointing would hit me. I mean, just, I'd be like, and I'd be saying things, and the pastor's wife come to me, and she said, good Lord. Last Sunday, the offering went up $2,500 from ever. It ain't never been that high. I said, well, good, praise God. I said, praise God. You know, and she's thinking, you got a prayer too good. And I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking, man, God moved on the people. That's all. I wasn't even thinking about it. I did it. And so Bradley comes the next day and says, hey, Brother Scott, he took up tithes and offerings. I thought, oh, man. I wanted to say, are you laying, man, or is that money moving you or what? You know, man. And he says, take up tithes and offerings. Well, that was the first time. See, I was studying on prosperity. I mean, I'm looking at it, Mac. I'm like, man, I made money with drugs, and I can't make money with the Lord. You know, I mean, I was selling drugs, and this is the way I was going to wear my gold chains and stuff. I'd watched them on TV, you know, and man, they're driving these nice cars and Corvettes and all that. And I thought, well, like, you get a lot of drugs, man, you trade drugs for cars, and man, before you know it, man, you'd liable to have houses and all that, you know. And so when I got born again, I'm thinking, man, I can't sell no drugs. God won't anoint it. You know, he's just not going to do that no more. And so I thought, and then, you know, so studying prosperity, I thought, man, God surely wouldn't take me out of riches to poverty. And so the next time I took up tithing offering, she come out, good God, I'm telling you, we got to start a building fund. I can't believe all this money that's coming in. She said, you got an anointing. I said, no. I said, all I'm doing is sharing what's already been in that book all these years. I said, maybe it ain't never been shared here. There's one dude I got on his nerve every time. I'd get up and I'd say, God, give me a revelation. If you got a need, plant a seed. So I'm planting seeds every week, man. I mean, he did it. He give me the revelation for me. If I plant a seed, God will move for me. You know, so every week I'm taking an offering. You know, I'm putting an offering in that plate. And so I'd get up there and I'd say, Lord of God, you ain't got no problems. All you need is faith in God. I'd heard the old man say that on TV, and I got a hold of that. I said, you know what? If you got a need, plant a seed, bless God, and God will take that seed, and God will multiply that seed according to 2 Corinthians 9 over there. He gives seed to the sower and multiplies the seeds that are sown. I was getting this out of the Bible, now I'm fired up there under an anointing, and bless God, before you know it, they had $100,000 in a building fund. They bought that land up there at College Street. Give $100,000 for that land. Us broke church. We barely was. I mean, you're getting a couple of grand out of 200 something people a week. Something wrong with that. They thought I was doing it. I'm like, man, I ain't doing nothing. These people so tight, man. WD-40 can't get them unsqueak, man, but God can touch them 1 second with a word, and they just break wide open. I told God one time, I said, you got my wallet, God. You got me stirred up, took everything. Stirred me up in the service, and I gave it all, Mac. I told God, I said, you took everything I had, God. You got me stirred up, so I just give it all. Hallelujah. So don't let faith stop because you ain't got no endurance. You work on it yourself personally. See, I didn't have no endurance with money, Mac. And so I thought, God, I'm not a good steward. I can't keep it long. I mean, I want to buy something. And so I went and got me a $10,000 credit card. All I had to do is use it. I was qualified, $10,000. I thought, I am going to work on endurance in my life. God, you're going to use this. This is what I'm choosing, and I know this is a challenge to me, and I'm going to do it. So I took that $10,000 credit card, and I put it in my pocket. And we got plumbed down to where I didn't have a dollar to buy Travis a Coke coming to church, and I never used that credit card. I built it. I did it on purpose. Now I can walk around with $2,000 or $3,000 in my wallet. I'll be like, nah, I don't want to buy nothing. You know. And then if it tries to get me to, I'll say, shut up. I decide what I want. I decide when I'm going to spend it. Well, just like the tractor deal. All of that endurance has got me, hey, man, I'll go get my tractor set up there, and I'll say, hey, beautiful, every time I pass it every morning. I paid for you, and you're mine. Hallelujah. I don't have to have it fixed, Mac. It'd be a trophy. of God's goodness to me. So I want to encourage you. Build some endurance. Work on your endurance. Suffer longer. Work harder. Go to work. Work more. I try to work hard so Travis don't have to work as hard. Wear himself out at 30. Right? I sure don't want him to get burnt out at 30. So I work a little bit harder, Max, so he don't get burnt out at 30. I don't want to hear him 40. I've been working for 18 years hard. Dad, and you stood there and watched me. No, Dad's showing him how to be a worker. Showing him. Work hard. Be diligent. Now he'll be able to take the business that I dreamed him having, and he'll be able to take it higher than I did. I've trained him. He's watched me serve Jesus. He's watched me put the principles of God's word into effect. And us grandparents and fathers and mothers, we need to do that with our kids. But you know what? You can't leave them where you ain't going. Can't do it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And I thank you, Lord, today. I thank you that Simon